Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, y'all? We are back with another edition of the DNVR Rams podcast. As always, I'm Justin Michael. We're going to be talking about the CSU football transfer portal situation. I'll give an update on the latest guys to enter the portal, give a couple of thoughts there. We're going to talk about a potential interconference transfer move on the basketball side that could be big for CSU. Cam Manyau, big-time freshman for Wyoming a year ago, could be in the green and gold in the future. We'll talk about that. Kyan Evans trying to recruit his former high school teammate. At the very end, we're going to talk about what's happening in Agland. That is an OG segment that we've had on the podcast where we just kind of dip our toes into some of the other sports that I don't typically focus on. We'll talk a little CSU women's golf. We'll give an update on CSU softball as well. In the intro here, I wanted to give an update on Tavy Jackson. He, according to his Instagram account, has committed to Southern Utah University. I think that's a good fit for him. Tavy is a guy that has flashed a lot of potential. In particular, I thought as a freshman on the defensive side, he showed a lot of promise. I had pretty high expectations for him. I've talked about it before, but he's kind of a victim of circumstance, unfortunately. Part of that being injuries. He struggled to stay on the court each of the last 2 years. That's not his fault. Also, just kind of some unexpected roster situation stuff. You don't expect to have Isaiah Stevens back. He played 20 minutes as a true freshman, 20 minutes a game. Only ended up playing 8 minutes a game as a sophomore, and a lot of that had to do with way more veterans being on the roster than originally anticipated. You got to remember that when Tavy signed, the expectation was that guys like Isaiah Stevens, Josiah Strong, they'd no longer be in the picture. Neek wasn't on the roster yet, neither was Kyan Evans, who they certainly prioritized in terms of development this past year over Tavy. In the end, I think this is a situation that makes a lot of sense. Tavy got kind of buried in the rotation a little bit. Now he has an opportunity to drop down slightly, but go to a place where he's going to be prioritized, where he's going to play a lot. I think at the WAC level, he has an opportunity to be a highly impactful player, maybe even an all-conference type talent. And you never know. Maybe he's able to reinvent himself, have a phenomenal career there, or maybe it's just a temporary landing spot and he does what someone like Isaiah Rivera did, where he drops down, has a nice little stint at UIC, and is now going to go play for DePaul in the Big East. It unfortunately didn't really work out at CSU the way we thought it would for Tavy, the way that a lot of us kind of expected. But that's just kind of how it goes sometimes. Like I said, it's really just circumstance, a little bit of bad timing, a little bit of bad luck. I give him a ton of credit for being a tremendous teammate this past season. That wouldn't have been easy, especially when you play a lot as a freshman and you're kind of thinking, you know, oh man, sophomore, junior year, it's really going to be on. I'm going to ascend in this system and, you know, get all these opportunities to being a guy that you don't even know if you're really going to get significant minutes in any given game. It's just not an easy situation. He handled it really well. I thought that whenever he came in, he played really smartly. He played within the system. It wasn't like he jacked up a bunch of shots and got selfish trying to make, you know, a bunch or trying to put up a bunch of numbers and make it about him during the 8 minutes a game or so that he was on the floor. He defended well. He actually shot the ball pretty well this past season. he was 52% from the floor, almost 56% from three. Almost wish he would have took a few more considering CSU's shooting woes. It just seemed like he needed a fresh start. Ultimately, he's going to get that opportunity at Southern Utah now. It's a program that wasn't very good last year, only 10-21, but they had three consecutive 20-plus win seasons before that. I'll be interested to see what type of role he ultimately ends up playing out there. Coming in, you kind of thought he was going to be more of a traditional point guard. At least in our system, I think he would have been better suited to be more like a two. I guess we'll see. I'll be rooting for him either way, though. To quote the great Tony Kornheiser from PTI, happy trails, Tavy. We'll be rooting for you. Hope you find success at Southern Utah. Trucks have always been a part of Toyota's DNA for generations. Toyota has built durable legends destined for greatness and perfect for Colorado. Whether you're conquering off-road trails or hauling the weight of the world, there's a truck that's just right for you. Maybe it's the all-new 2024 Tacoma or the return of the iconic 2024 Land Cruiser coming back this spring. Toyota offers 17 models with available all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive like the Epic 4Runner. Toyota also offers more low and zero emission vehicles combined than any other automaker to give customers numerous choices to reduce their carbon footprint. There are 16 different hybrid vehicles to choose from, like the Tundra iForce Max hybrid truck. Not to be outdone, Toyota SUVs take command on the road and on the trail, so you can explore the road less traveled without sacrificing smooth city rides in SUVs like the RAV4 and Grand Highlander. Toyota is a proud partner of CSU Athletics and the official vehicle of DNVR. I don't know about you guys, but buying tickets has become such a stressful process over the years. It seems like it's become a really shady operation. You're always getting hit with last-minute fees, all kinds of BS bogus charges that you're not expecting. Well, with Game Time, they take all of the inconvenience out of the ticket buying experience. And what's awesome is they make it cheaper to buy tickets and they allow you to save money the closer that you get to the event. So if you procrastinate, they are the company for you. What's great about Game Time is you can save up to 60% buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, or theater. You can save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the game or the event. With their zone deal, you pick the zone and Game Time picks the seats. You're going to save even more. What's awesome is with the lowest price guarantee, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference if you can find tickets in the same section, same row for less. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the app, create an account, use that code DNVR for $20 off your first purchase. Terms do apply. Again, create an account, use that code DNVR for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed. Cool, cool, cool. Like I said, we will give an update on the portal situation for CSU football. We're also going to give an update on what's happening in Agland. I did want to talk briefly about a potential portal addition for CSU men's basketball. I know people are getting impatient. I think that we're going to get some news here pretty soon over the next couple of days. They've had a ton of visits, one of which is Wyoming forward Cam Manyau. He was high school teammates at Staley High School with Kyan Evans, could potentially reunite at CSU. Last night, Kyan was actually tweeting, encouraging CSU fans to show him love. If you look online, there've been a lot of Drake fans that have been encouraging him to come there. I believe the coach that got him to sign in Laramie is now on staff at Drake, Bryston Williams, so that makes a lot of sense. From what I've gathered, it seems like it will be Drake, St. Louis, or CSU that have the strongest chances to land him, at least as of now. Those are the places that he's visited. Things can obviously change pretty quickly in the recruiting world, but if CSU were to pull this off, it would be a really huge addition for the Rams on multiple levels. First of all, just not having to play against him anymore is huge. He was great against CSU in that game, and Fort Collins had a double-double, 15 points, 10 rebounds, had 5 offensive rebounds in that game. That's where he's especially dangerous in an area. I think he would provide a big boost for CSU where they haven't had a ton of consistent production is getting those offensive boards. He had 6 games with 5 or more offensive rebounds as a true freshman. Maybe still a little bit raw, but he's 6'9", 228 pounds, and he's just got a ton of athleticism, a relentless motor. I really like the thought of him and Kion operating in the pick and roll together. I think it would just put defenses in such a tough spot. Evans is quick and crafty, and I think he could get kind of lost behind Manyao. We saw some videos posted online from their days back at Staley High School where, you know, Kion's throwing some lobs up to Cam. You could see that being a strong possibility. I mean, it would just open up a lot of things for CSU offensively, give them something that they haven't necessarily had, which is a guy that, like, coming downhill can put the ball on the court and get to the hoop, but also I think could play with his back to the basket a little bit. He's got deceptive touch, and I think if you prioritize some post-up opportunities for him, especially against guys that are smaller or less athletic, he really could have a lot of success. As a freshman, averaged 7.5 points, 7 rebounds on 61% from the floor, 60.7 effective field goal percentage, only a 57.6% free throw shooter, so that's an area you'd like to see him improve as a whole. But I really like the thought of bringing him over. I know that it would irk Wyoming fans, and rightfully so. They would be super pissed off about it, and I completely get that. But it just... this is the game now. Interconference transfers feel so much more normal than they did even 2 years ago. It's not the college sports that we knew. I mean, I remember, 10 years ago, it would have felt like completely foreign to us. But at this point, we've got guys playing for their third Mountain West schools. Guys like Xavier Ducell, Javonte Johnson might be another guy who ends up doing that. It makes sense, though. As coaches, you see these guys a lot. You're constantly watching them on film, so you get probably better evaluations on them than you would with other transfers from other conferences. On top of that, the players, they have some familiarity with the guys they're playing against and potentially going to team up with, but also the towns and what they're like and the schools and what they're like. They know, you know, if it's a place they could see themselves living because they've actually been there. I know it's kind of weird, especially to college basketball traditionalists, but this is just kind of what the game is now, and we're going to see more and more interconference transfers. It's going to feel more and more normalized. It's honestly possible that this cycle we end up with a former Wyoming Cowboy in Fort Collins and a former CSU Ram in Laramie. I'll provide updates as they come when it comes to Manyao, but man, I really would love to see him land in Fort Collins. I love the possibility of high school teammates reuniting from a chemistry standpoint. Just so much easier to hit the ground running. And I think that especially if you could play him at the four and bring in an athletic five, maybe somebody like Zach Keller out of Wake Forest, that's just a hypothetical. But all of a sudden you would have some length and athleticism that you haven't really had in the paint in a while. Joel Scott was awesome, don't get me wrong. But this would be like having a guy like Joel Scott essentially at the four, and then, you know, having a bigger five as well. Or maybe you get creative. Maybe you do some stuff with Bemba. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities regardless. I just would love to bring a guy like Manyao in. Let's move on to the football side of things, give an update on the transfer portal situation for CSU football. Real quick, I just wanted to comment on kind of an odd situation. There's a burner account on X, Twitter, or whatever you want to call it, that has put out some information about the program, some of which has been accurate. I would just say be weary of the types of people you're getting your information from. I'm pretty sure I know who's operating this burner, and it's kind of somebody who has an axe to pick with the staff. Really emotionally immature moment on their part, probably going to cost them an opportunity to play at another school if they get caught. But the reason that I even bring any of this up is just to say that while some of the stuff they have put out has been accurate in terms of players that they forecasted would enter the portal, like Justice Ross Simmons, and then ultimately did Brandon Guzman as well, you got to take some of the stuff they're putting out with a grain of salt, especially, you know, if their goal, which it clearly is to take shots and make a program look bad that they believe did them wrong, when in reality they just couldn't crack the field. I'm saying all this, though, because the difference between me and maybe like an anonymous burner that has access to some information inside the locker room, maybe they're even in the locker room, is, you know, I have to uphold some type of journalistic integrity. I'm considering the sources and the information they're giving me, why they're giving me the information. What is the purpose? Is it for their own selfish advancement? Is it to advance their own agenda? I mean, these are the things that I consider. There are a lot of information that I come across I don't put out for various reasons. Maybe I don't 100% trust the person. Maybe I don't trust the reason that they want me to put it out. But when it comes to some of these burners and stuff, they're just flinging shit at the wall. And, you know, sometimes some of it's right. And man, do they love to take their victory laps when they are right. But I would argue that a lot of it is wrong or missing important context. It's easy to put whatever BS you want out onto the internet when you're a nameless, faceless troll account. Anyways, that's my two cents on it all. That's the last thing that I intend to say on it. Probably said more than I should have at this point even. But an important takeaway for all of us in life, and this is something I try to do in my own when it comes to consuming content, it's something I try and consider when researching, just something you should consider in all facts of life, is to consider the source and to consider the purpose of, you know, why somebody might be putting certain information out. What are their biases? What is their agenda? What is their experience? Yeah, let's get into the portal update. We obviously found out before the spring game that Justice Ross Simmons will no longer be part of the program. A lot of debate about the circumstances that went into that. He has posted a ton of P5 interest since, so it'll be interesting to see where he lands up. Does he end up at a big-time program? Does he end up at Rutgers or Syracuse, the P5 programs that were tampering with him in the first place? We shall see. Some more receivers have since entered the portal, starting with Silas Evans, a local kid. He early enrolled in spring of 2023. The staff had a ton of positive things to say about him. I remember back on signing day, Norvell saying they go all over the country looking for players that fit Evans' athletic profile. Had some Pac-12 interest, picked CSU over a couple of Pac-12 schools. Will now move on with 4 years of eligibility. I've kind of heard a couple of things. Sounds like he wasn't very happy with his playing time. The tough part about having so much player mobility is guys aren't patient. You know, if they're not playing right away, they have the opportunity to leave and then leave again if they so choose, and then leave again, which we're now seeing. The result eventually is going to be a lot of bad football, undeveloped football players without degrees. That's a comment on college football as a whole, not necessarily anything that has to do with these particular individuals. I've heard Evans is a really good kid. I'll be rooting for him. I'm not like upset that he's moving on or anything like that. I do think it could potentially be a short-sighted decision. We'll have to see what happens there. I just think back to some of the all-time great receivers in the program, and, you know, very few of them were cracking the two deep as true freshmen. That's just the reality. This is the game now, though, and it just kind of is what it is. I guess there's no sense in crying over it. We'll certainly be rooting for a guy like Silas Evans to succeed. Always want Colorado kids to do well. Was hoping it would be in a CSU uniform. We'll see where he lands next. Another receiver in the portal, Makai Fox, one of the highest rated recruits in that 2022 class, was committed to UCLA at one point, ultimately flipped to CSU. An important reminder that recruiting stars don't really mean much. Once guys get to campus, he was very, very highly coveted as a prospect, but just, you know, wasn't really able to make much happen these last 2 years. Couldn't crack the two deep, you know, as one career catch. I don't think this is a situation that's shocking to anybody. I mean, I mentioned it in the fall, the fact that he wasn't getting on the field over guys like Dane Olsen and Dawson Menegatti. And I don't mean that as a dig at them, you know, that they've worked really hard, they've earned their roles. But when some of these young guys who have a ton of athletic talent, you know, they aren't able to get the field, that's pretty telling. Especially when you have some guys like Caleb Goody, who've been on campus half as long who are making a much louder impression. I want to make it clear that I'm not trying to throw shade at Fox. I don't think it's his fault that he got all this recruiting attention that creates unrealistic expectations. It's one of the biggest flaws with the way that college football is covered and consumed when it comes to recruiting. It just creates these insane expectations that guys almost never live up to. There's a million examples of it. I mean, I don't want to name anybody individually because I'm not trying to take shots at anybody in particular or anything like that. It's just it's a good reminder. Recruiting stars don't mean everything. You've got to earn it once you get to campus. And, you know, frankly, like I said, this was just kind of a situation where the writing has been on the wall for quite some time. We'd heard from the staff that they wanted him to have better practice habits like a year ago. Didn't see much of him out of the fall. He wasn't anticipated to be much in the receiving rotation this fall either. You wish him well. Hopefully he's able to find a fresh start and, you know, maybe live up to some of that potential that he has. Finally, on the defensive side, cornerback Brandon Guzman has entered the portal. Guy that committed under Bobo, played for Adazio and Norvell mostly. I think he could have been a rotational guy. Didn't play much at all last year. Had like 30 tackles in 2022, those 6 pass deflections. Not sure he would have played a ton this fall, so I'm not shocked by his decision to move on as a grad transfer with 2 years of eligibility. Wouldn't shock me if he drops down a level or something like that. But I do want to say that I have a lot of respect for a guy like Guzman who didn't have the easiest of circumstances. I mean, you're being recruited by Bobo. He ultimately gets fired. You come in and have the whole situation under Adazio, which was a million different fires and train wrecks in its own right. You have to deal with COVID and everything that went along with that. Then he gets fired. They bring in a third staff. I mean, it really disrupted what I imagine he expected his career to go like. Kudos to Guzman for finishing his degree. I hope he's able to find an opportunity to play somewhere. All right, before we wrap up with what's happening in Agland, I want to talk to you guys about the Circle K Inner Circle. It's a free membership. All you got to do is put your email and phone number in. After that, you just log back in with your phone number every time you fill up or buy something at a Circle K. You're going to get rewards on items. And what's awesome is after you sign up, you're going to save 25 cents a gallon for your first 5 fill-ups. Get a free any size Polar Pop from Colorado Circle K's by texting DNVR to 31310. That's DNVR to the number 31310. Message and data rates may apply. Periodic recurring messages per month. Terms and conditions can be viewed at CircleK.com. Visit CircleK.com/innercircle for more information. Join us at the Breckenridge Farmhouse for our live DNVR Broncos draft show on April 25th. I'll be there. Todd Davis will be there. Hank will be there. RK will be there. Dre will be there. And we will all be breaking down the NFL draft. A burger and house beer are included in your ticket price before and after the show. You're going to have meet and greet opportunities if you want to take a pick with somebody like Super Bowl 50 champion Todd Davis. We're going to have reps from Raising Cane's there. We're giving out swag, all kinds of great prizes. Breck has always been with us. They are the official craft beer of DNVR. Check out the Breck Beer Locator at breckbrew.com to find a brew near you. All right, all right, all right. We're just briefly going to dive into what's happening in Agland. I thought it'd be kind of a fun way to wrap up the show, give a little update on some of the teams we don't always get an opportunity to talk about. Starting with CSU Women's Golf, they have qualified for the NCAA Regional for the first time since 2010. They will be out at the Las Vegas Regional at the Spanish Trail Country Club from May 6th through the 8th. The top 5 teams from each regional advance to the NCAA Championships. That's May 17th through the 22nd. Love to see the growth that this program has had of late. Having a really historic season, 3 team titles, 3 individual titles. We'll see what happens. Last year, Sofia Torres competed as an individual in the NCAA tournament. This time, the Rams have an opportunity to make some noise as a unit. Moving on to softball, CSU is now on a 7-game winning streak, currently 10 games above 500 on the year. Really hot. I mean, they had a rough stretch to begin conference play. They actually won the first game and then lost 7 straight. Now have won 7 straight, and they've been doing it in dominant fashion. They've outscored the opposition 62-10 over the last 5 wins. now have an opportunity to close strong. You've got two conference series remaining before the conference tournament. You've got a road series against Fresno State, who's currently ahead of you in the standings. But if you could keep this momentum rolling, pull off a sweep or even a series win, that's going to make things interesting. And then you've got Boise State at home to finish the regular season. They're a little bit up and down, have been basically a 500 team in league play. Chance for CSU to potentially close strong, really capitalize on some of this momentum they have going into the tournament. And then anything's possible there. The top six teams are all within like five games of each other. So it's not a situation where you have this one really individually dominant group that's just going to murder everybody else. It kind of feels like the parity is pretty solid amongst the top half teams in the league. CSU softball has had a lot of success in recent years under Jen Fisher. We'll see what happens. I'm excited to see, hopefully the Rams, you know, make a little bit of noise in the postseason. That's what we've got, though, for today's show. That's what's happening in Agland. We'll be talking more CSU hoops, NFL draft, CSU football, recruiting updates, especially hoops updates as well over the next month. If you have any ideas as far as guests, content, or just things you'd like me to talk about, send them my way. Go Nuggets, go Avs. Always proud to be. Peace.
Peaches out of Palisades, sweet as mama's marmalade. This shit sound like summer days, the windows down on harmony. The family band sing harmonies, my daddy played the drums. My mama slapped that bass, my sister sang these songs. Dancing under canopies, we thank the trees for all their leaves. We are just some drops of water, together make up seven seas. And one day I'll be like my father, one day I will learn to breathe. I'm choking on the thought that I am not the man I wanna be. I got blood on my shirt, like I wear my heart on my sleeve. She said I look good in red, but that went straight to my head. So now she's rocking my tees, tucked into new Prada jeans. And we ain't spoke in a month, but I just saw her last week. The lipstick stain still on my cheek, like we ain't talk enough. And we always seem to laugh, but never nod at us. So the future's looking grim, it's kinda ominous. And this song ain't about love, that'd be too obvious. See, this is more about lust and all of my misconceptions. And this is more about me and all of my self-deception. I'll tell myself a lie 100 times, don't need corrections. But every night I pray to God, I hope I learn my lesson. And the peaches out from Palisade, and they sweet as mama's marmalade. And this should sound like summer days, the windows down on harmony. The family band sing harmonies, my daddy played the drums. And my mama slapped that bass, and my sister sang these songs. Dancing hand in hand, we were tripping two left feet. Like a middle school slow dance, no one knew how to lead. But I'm still thankful for these days. That